ER-101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, welcome to ER-101. We have an interesting show today. Mosquitoes, summer's in full swing, and mosquitoes are out. And there's a lot of mosquito-related illnesses, some very exotic, that are now coming to the United States. My first guest, a frequent guest on the show, Dr. Brett Nix, is an associate professor of emergency medicine and associate dean of global health at Wake Forest School of Medicine. So he knows very well about the problems of mosquito-borne illnesses, both taking care of them, and I've heard recently that he's had a few of them himself. So welcome, Dr. Nix. Thanks for being on again.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Vinoker. It's great to be on the show.
Yes. Well, here's what's interesting to me and mosquitoes, and I'm one of those people. You know how there are some people that just never get bit, and then there are some people that are bit all the time. So even without the disease, mosquitoes are kind of annoying and pesky. And thankfully, we don't have things like malaria here, but there's this exotic disease that I believe just hit recently, the first time Puerto Rico, which is an American territory, so considered U.S. soil, a very strange disease called chikungunya, correct?
That's correct, chikungunya indeed.
So tell us a little bit about this disease that you get from mosquito bites.
Well, chikungunya is a virus that comes from the mosquitoes. And interestingly enough, it has been around the world for quite some time. You see it in different places throughout Africa and the tropics. But there have been cases as well in places within Europe and elsewhere. And as you state, we, as of last year, 2013, it made its way into the Caribbean. And now we see continued outbreaks in that area. The thought process right now is that there's probably already 160 to 200,000 cases in the Caribbean this year alone. Only 5,000, however, have been documented. And as you pointed out, Puerto Rico, a U.S. territory, indeed has its first cases that are considered to be primary at that location, not just from travelers going from elsewhere.
And is that because of, talk a little bit about the mosquito, because we've been hearing about this type of mosquito, sounds horrible, right? The Asian tiger mosquito. But is that because they're moving this way?
Well, the mosquito is interesting. So we do have the Asian tiger mosquito in the U.S. now, mostly in the southeast, but it's expanding based on the different areas and temperatures and whatnot. But there's two different types of mosquitoes, not just the Asian tiger mosquito, that are the primary sources for it, if you will, from the infection perspective. And the challenge that we see and why we are concerned about it coming to the U.S. is we have a lot of people who absolutely love to vacation and or are coming from the Caribbean and either for work purposes or vacation purposes come back to the U.S. So they go to the Caribbean, to one of these islands that have these infected mosquitoes, and, you know, even if you have really good prevention processes, if they get bit by one mosquito and come back to the U.S. and then start having the virus in their body and get bit by a local mosquito, then that mosquito becomes infected, and obviously you can see the process there. If that mosquito is infected, bites someone local, now all of a sudden we have a new process in the U.S. on U.S. soil that we don't thus far.
Huh. And that's an interesting and a good point, because it's not transmitted. Once you get it, it's not like you can pass it on to anyone else. But it gets passed on through those blood-sucking mosquitoes, right?
Oh, they are pests indeed. And the challenging piece, let's say you go down for an awesome vacation, and the last day you decide to go on a tropical rainforest jungle visit or whatever, and you get a bunch of mosquitoes. If you're like me, you don't have to worry about anybody else in the group getting bit. If I'm in the group, I'm the vector. I'm the one they're going towards. But it could be almost a week before I develop symptoms. So I could finish my vacation, come home, and then, you know, go out, mow the lawn, or go for a hike or something else where I get exposed to other mosquitoes. And then if I'm developing that virus, I'm having the fevers and the other symptoms that you get, and mosquitoes bite me then, well, then those mosquitoes become infected. And then those are the problem ones, because then they can start affecting people in that area as well.
Huh. Now, let's talk a little bit about the symptoms. I understand this is one of the few diseases you haven't got yet, but there's always hope, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the challenge when you've lived in Africa and you lived in Central and Latin America countries, sometimes you just find what happens to be local. And, you know, this one is not one that I've had, but I've had some that are very similar, like dengue and some others. But specifically related to chikungunya, the expectation is once you are bit by an infected mosquito, your incubation period, the time before your symptoms, can be as long as almost 2 weeks, but it's typically between 3 and 7 days. Now, most people who get bit by the mosquito, the vast majority actually do develop symptoms, so it's not a rare occurrence, but the mosquitoes here are fairly infrequent within the Caribbean and whatnot at this point. The symptoms, really high fevers. I mean, over 102, and it comes on very, very quickly. And with that, your joints, aches and pains are profound. You know, most people call them severe, debilitating for those that have had it. And it's not something that's subtle. It's not like just picking up a normal cold or a virus from your kids. It's like, you know, the symptoms of the fever and the aches and pains that you might have had from influenza, but even more extreme.
Wow. And what's interesting, a little interesting fact about this, is when it was first discovered in Africa, it was near Mozambique and Tanzania. And the natives of that region, the Makonde people, named it chikungunya. And it the translation is to be bent up or contorted, I assume in pain, because it is such a painful disease. But is it fatal?
You know, it's interesting. It's funny that you mention that. I actually live with the Makonde people in Tanzania, and
really?
it is from that area. You're absolutely right. And it is so debilitatingly painful that you don't want to move. You don't want to bend your joints. And any subtle movements of your joints are excruciatingly painful. Interestingly enough, however, it is not routinely fatal. You know, people dying from it is incredibly rare. Those that do are typically very old adults that have underlying medical conditions that have put them at risk for just illness in general. So it is incredibly unusual, but the symptoms, like I said before, can be profound, and it can go far beyond issues related to just the fever and the joints, aches, and pain. Severe headaches, muscle cramping, you know, muscle aches, some arthritis, some nausea and vomiting. You can even develop a rash, and obviously if you have some medical conditions that limit your immune response, you can obviously develop other things as well.
Interesting. Does not sound like fun. Let's talk first about prevention. If we have some time, we can talk about your dengue experience. But what can people do? Because, so say it's in the United States, and we know there are other diseases that we have here, Eastern equine virus. So there are some. West Nile's been here for a while, and people have talked about that to death. So we know in the United States, getting a lot of mosquito bites can be dangerous. We don't have malaria, thankfully, yet, with our global society, right, where everyone's traveling back and forth. But what can people do to kind of protect themselves at their house and when they're out?
You know, absolutely. And as we enter in the summer months, let alone throughout the year, we live in an amazing country with so many incredible things to do outdoors. So we want to encourage people to be active and be outdoors. But when we're talking about mosquito-borne illnesses and whatnot, we want people to be smart. So if you're going to be outside, recognize that most of us think about mosquito bites at dawn and at dusk. That's always the thought process as it relates to it. But the mosquito specifically to chikungunya is a daytime mosquito. It's the one that you're out doing normal activities and whatnot. So the best thing to do is, number one, use an appropriate bug spray, especially if you live in a wet air tropical area, or if you're going into wooded areas that have water nearby. Or in the summertime, if you're in areas with routine thunderstorms that have standing water, make sure that you put on some bug spray. Obviously, if you are around your house, if you have buckets and bins of things, standing water, empty plastic containers, kids' swimming pools that are not being used, the small plastic versions, flower pots, pet dishes, keep them empty unless you're actively using them, because that'll help prevent mosquitoes from breeding. And, of course, dress appropriately. Simple things you can do, long sleeves and pants. If you're going to be hiking or outdoors in areas where you know there's lots of mosquitoes, those are the simple things you can do with great success.
Yeah, and that sounds interesting. And there are some areas and regions that are actually spraying themselves. And another interesting point is mosquitoes are really weak flyers. So if you're having a barbecue, you can actually just put a fan outside and the mosquitoes will be blown away. So that's a nice, good, safe thing to do. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Van Oker on Radio MD. Stay well and tune into your health.